and released this on basically Christmas. This is going live Christmas Eve. Ooh, all right, that makes it more exciting. Everybody amp up your Christmas energies. Hello, hello, and Merry Christmas. And my name is, I don't know, that's right.
The Tantrum House Board Game Podcast is recorded live from Studio WKRB in Greenville, South Carolina. This podcast is brought to you by our friendly local game store, Boardwalk, purveyors of fine games, Bezier Games, the new classics, Final Frontier Games, bringing friends and family closer together, The Game Steward, your second chance at Kickstarter games, and Game Toppers LLC, upgrading your gaming experience. Your hosts are Prognosticator Supreme, peering into the swirling mist of future Kickstarters and glimpsing the diamonds in the rough. So buckle up, seriously, especially if you're driving right now, because you're about to arrive at the Tantrum House.
Hello, hello, and Merry Christmas Eve. Today we've got the full complement in the house. We've got Will Meadows.
Sarah Meadows.
Kevin Delp.
Melissa Delp.
Katie and Ryan Pills.
And intern Dan.
In the house! So we have been having a great evening tonight. We did a bunch of game playing. We had a bunch of people here. Larry, the intern, who will be joining us later for one of his most controversial timeouts ever.
I'm sure.
Stay tuned for that.
I actually agree with you.
He was here as well. All the babies were around,
I
which
know.
Is always cool. Farron is occupying people at the moment.
And it was cool to see Larry and Elena.
Yeah, yeah. So we're growing. We also had some friends, or one friend, Alan Valancourt, joined us. He just recently did one of our reviews for us, which was pretty cool. I think they shot that at Studio D.
They did. They did a review of Istanbul the Dice Game from AEG.
Alan and Callender. Okay, that's a hard one to say. Alan and Karen are some good friends who hang out with us as often as they can, and we'd love to see them join us more often. But what kind of stuff were we playing tonight? What did you guys play?
Go for it, Sarah.
I got to play Wingspan.
Ooh. And that's all we're saying.
And it was awesome.
Yes.
Do I get to play it soon? That's what we really want to know.
We'll play it when we're allowed to talk about it.
Ah, okay. It's too hard for me to not talk if
that's
I have
right.
knowledge.
That's right.
Am I allowed to talk about how cool that one piece is?
You can talk about pieces and components, but you can't talk about gameplay yet.
Okay, so I didn't get to play it, but I did see a really cool dice tower.
Yes.
That's like a birdhouse thing.
Yeah.
Super cool looking.
Yeah. They it's cardboard, but it's put well put together, and the dice work well.
And I happen to roll a Yahtzee.
Yeah. Sarah, like all the dice, like all the same face. That was pretty cool. So
yeah, Katie was saying she really liked the artwork, but also that there was a lot of information about the birds.
Yeah.
She really appreciated that.
That's cool.
So many things.
All right.
When do we get
so,
to talk about this?
So reviews and videos will be able to be released January 2nd.
Okay.
So
that's not too far.
It's not too far. Yeah.
Okay.
Not too far. So Melissa and I actually will be recording our video hopefully tomorrow night. So we get that to Jamie early so he can get it in his blogs and email list. And
cool.
Stuff, so.
Cool. Dan and I got together a little bit early today and recorded a review for Embark.
Yes.
From TMG. So we'll get that out on the channel pretty soon. That's a fun one.
Definitely.
And then as we were playing that one, we talked about Dan hadn't played Imhotep yet. Let's get that under your belt. And then we actually had the expansion, A New Dynasty. So I got to try that out for the first time. Ryan kind of walked us through it and taught us.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. I, again, learned that the market is really something you shouldn't ignore all the time. That's my main downfall with Imhotep. I'm even, like, that's the game I'm holding in our couple shots.
It is.
Oh, on the podcast.
Imhotep is the game I'm holding. And I can never win because I never visit the market.
He always has the early lead, though, or it looks like it, till final score.
I mean,
he's crushing
final scoring,
us
I'm always leading, but I never have market cards, so.
Alan, I think, trounced us, didn't he? He, like, final turn.
Yeah. He had never played the original either, I don't think.
No, he had played the original with Melissa and I.
2 years ago, but he had.
Yeah, I couldn't tell what he was doing. And I don't think he really knew. And then the last turn he took, because of the expansion, there's something that lets you take all of the market cards if you've got a certain combination.
Coins, yeah.
Yeah. And so that last market really did it for him. So I think he had like 46 points.
Yeah. I think he racked up like 10 or 15 in that last turn.
So are you saying you lost because of luck, Ryan?
No. It was it was just poor playing.
Okay.
It was player blindness.
whatever. Gotcha, gotcha. Yeah.
I did like the expansion components, though. It feels very true and similar to the original. You're stacking cubes in different ways and getting points. And I really liked the scaffolding thing. That was cool.
Is that the thing where there was going in between the blocks?
Yeah.
I think Melissa commented on that.
Yeah, I mean, some of the other things are three-dimensional, but there was cardboard in between the layers.
Yeah, it looks like scaffolding. You lay four blocks, and then you lay a new cardboard tile in that, which grants for the next rounds of scoring, and you keep working your way up. And
I did get a little behind the scenes on the expansion from some of the guys at Cosmos. I guess Phil Walker Harding didn't have an expansion planned for Imhotep. Like, they were just going to do the base game, and that was it. And Cosmos said, hey, we should consider doing one since this was such a popular game.
Yeah.
And so it wasn't like they needed to fix anything in the game. They didn't need to add anything to the game. And so these were some modules that he put together that were other things he had already worked out and planned and decided this fits really well with Imhotep.
That's cool.
So I think it probably brings some new stuff to it that... You know, it wasn't thought of when they did the original.
Yeah, I think the beauty was there's no new rule changes like to the what you're doing in the game. It's just the scoring on all the new tiles, right?
There was one optional part of the expansion that we didn't play, so I'm not sure about that. But it's like the original game, there's an A side and a B side of the five areas, and this is just adding a C side and a D side.
Oh,
so okay. Not that much is actually changing. You just pick which modules you want to play with.
What I was going to say is, as a first-time player for the game, sometimes when you jump into an expansion, you just feel like you're swimming and you know, barely keeping your head above water. I felt like it was really easy just to get in. Ryan was explaining the expansion, and I was able to pick up how to play just through that, so I really liked that.
Well, Melissa and I were at Pete Shirey's house this past weekend for a little winter Pete con.
Pete works with CMON.
Yes, and he invited
us. He's designed a couple games, yeah.
He's designed games, works with CMON, like Melissa said, and we were able to play. I taught Melissa Dulosaur Island because they were already playing a game when we arrived. Melissa and I were doing a balloon event for our company, and we were a little late to the to his house. And they were playing the new TMG Crusaders game, which you've seen some.
It looks so cool.
Yeah, it was pretty cool looking. And then after we played Dulosaur, we played a 5-player Dinosaur Island with the Totally Liquid expansion.
Yeah, okay.
And this was the first time Kevin and I had played Dinosaur Island. So we played Dulosaur before playing Dinosaur.
Actually, I played Dulosaur probably 5, 6, 7 times now. And this was Melissa's first time playing Dulosaur. Tell us a little bit about just those two experiences.
Dulosaur is a 2-player and it's definitely much more streamlined than Dinosaur Island. But it has a lot of the same iconography. So when they were teaching Dinosaur Island, I sort of knew a lot of the premise already.
And a lot of the iconography is similar because you have DNA and the dice and the dinosaurs and stuff.
Yeah, and then Dinosaur Island is more worker placement, where Dulosaur is more...
It's a drafting set collection.
And multi-use cards. Yeah. So
which one did you like more?
So here's the thing.
She said the word worker placement, so...
I definitely want to try Dinosaur Island again, and I think eventually we're going to be doing a review of the Totally Liquid expansion, but there are tons of components. So setting it up and then table space with Dinosaur Island is, you kind of have to be committed.
Yeah, the barrier to entry is a much smaller for Dulosaur Island, because you can set up, play the game, and be done in like, I don't know, 30, 40 minutes.
Yeah, it was pretty quick.
And for Dinosaur Island, I mean, I know we played 5-player. Melissa and I actually were playing on a team, so there was actually 6 of us around the table.
Gotcha.
There was just so much. I know some of us, it was our first game. There's just so many components. There was a bigger barrier. And I would say Dulosaur, it's such streamlined. I'm like, I just want to do certain things, but you need workers in Dinosaur Island to do those things.
I had to keep reminding Kevin, no, we can't do that because we only have 5 workers.
I was like, I want to sell some DNA. I want to mix some DNA to get some other advanced DNA. No, I don't want advanced DNA anymore. I want basic DNA. Oh no, you can't do that in this. You need to like spend your workers. And so we were actually worker poor. I don't think we ever got an extra worker. We started with our base four or five workers and never got another one the whole game. Other players were getting all these workers, but we did get this awesome like computer programmer card at the beginning of the game that I think basically won us the game.
A little overpowered,
it was,
huh?
It was a special card, and we got it for super cheap that basically let us copy someone else's action.
Oh, nice.
Once per round, and it was for getting DNA. So when someone else got like five
whatever
or
you needed,
like
yeah.
four or five DNA, we're like, we'll take that.
And, yeah. and you basically need the DNA to create certain dinosaurs in your park. There's also goals.
Yeah. Yeah, that's different in Dinosaur Island. There's more goal. There is goals that you're trying to achieve, and which is going to be variable from game to game. Whereas Duelosaur, you're always trying to get a certain number of visitors or trying to get the most visitors. So
yeah, and we happened to get a lot of the goals, which gave us a lot of points, which helped us
yes.
win.
So the Delp conglomerate killed them.
Oh, you guys did do it. Yes. Okay. The newcomers come and take away the victory. Very nice. Now, that's not the Totally Liquid expansion. That was just...
No, so the Totally Liquid brings... So you can play with more players, I believe.
The fifth player.
Yeah, fifth player. But it also has some variants that we didn't... I think there might have been like one or two things we threw in, but there is more variants that you can add to Dinosaur Island. But there was just so much. I think one of them was called, we didn't play with this, called Blueprints, where you actually, when you're building your park, you're trying to create or build certain things in a certain order.
Or a
certain,
layout.
Yeah, a certain placement.
Like, oh, we want to shop here yeah. and dinos here and things like that. Totally Liquid also brings water
oh,
dinosaurs.
That's right.
And Pete
totally
is a huge
liquid.
Aquatic. Yeah.
Pete is a huge shark
right.
fan, so he went right after what is it, Megalodon?
The Megalodon.
Yes.
yes.
Oh, basically, we weren't allowed to take that.
This is my house. Bit of my rules.
Yes. We weren't allowed to.
We didn't want to get kicked out,
yes.
so we definitely let him
just
have the Megalodon.
That spot for.
Yeah.
And the funny thing is, you've been to his house?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
The basement with the big
posters,
arcade, I don't even know what you call it.
Four-player, yeah, arcade game machine.
It has 62,000 games on it.
What?
62,000 games. I'm like, oh, so one guy was playing Wheel of Fortune while we were playing Dinosaur Island. We were helping him out. It was fun.
No downtime that way, right?
No downtime in between turns. So that's fun.
We did some city building tonight, too. We
that's
played
what I say, yes.
the Estates, which is pretty cool. Larry joined us for that one. We kind of did an abbreviated version because we had a podcast interview that I think we're recording and airing next week. But that was pretty cool. I enjoyed
yeah.
the components for that one.
I felt there was like one or two things about it that kind of reminded me about Acquire.
Okay, yeah,
Acquire.
I could see that.
But I feel like it's more approachable than Acquire. I didn't quite understand what was going on when I first came in because I missed half
the rules
when I was changing my kid. But I did pick it up, and I actually won, you know, with the little bit that I did understand. So I thought it was a lot of fun. I might be biased, though, because you guys let me win.
they're not game trades. What are they called?
Meeple Realty inserts.
Yeah, we played with those as well, which actually made the game a whole lot more organized, which was pretty cool. They in the game, you're placing basically these building cubes from a supply, and you can only bid on the outside edged cubes, and then you're placing them into the city districts, and you're stacking them up. And so there's a lot of bidding. It's a bidding game, but you only get to own a corporation when you're the first person to place the cube on the bottom, but you only score the cube when it's the top cube on the
building
stack.
You only score the building if your cube is on top.
Right.
Yeah.
So a lot of strategy into, I want to get these cubes, but then I don't actually score any points unless I get another cube onto this same one. Pretty interesting. I like the artwork. I like the cubes. It was fun. I definitely felt like about halfway through is when I was like, oh, now I understand what I should have been doing at the beginning of the game.
Yeah. There was a point of time where with the three-player bidding, where I had all of the money in my hands.
Yeah.
I was like, what can I do with this? I don't know, like, how to play this. The thing I thought was really interesting is somebody, the auctioneer, is selecting something to place up for bid, and then the other two people fight over it. But ultimately, whoever wins the bid, it's the auctioneer who decides whether they get it or whether he pays them and takes it for himself.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Now, and money is limited.
Right. Yeah, you start off the game with a set amount of money. That's the only money that's in the game for the entirety of it. The money is actually pretty cool because it looks like checks, and they're all like, every single check is unique. I don't know how many
they're all written out from different people. Also, an interesting thing about the money being limited is one of the things you can do is put one of your checks into your personal bank or a personal stash each round.
Illegal stash, yeah.
And so although everybody starts out with, I think it's like 12 million, eventually, as the rounds go by, there's less and less money abroad, so things might go for less as you go along.
Yeah, yeah. Lots of interesting little unique mechanics that fit together pretty well, and I'm looking forward to trying that one again.
So I've heard that the estates can be pretty mean. Like, you can really mess other people up. I know it was your first game, so that might not have come out, but did you feel any of that?
It seemed like the first round, like it was going to be all cutthroat.
I'm really bad at bidding, so after the first two rounds, I had like $2 left, or two checks.
Yeah.
So
I think Larry and I
still come back.
Started pretty strategically, like whittling down his money.
Yeah. They were like, oh, he doesn't know what
to do. Steal it. Take it all. But yeah, it could be a little cutthroat, but it started off that way, and then it didn't really end up that way. So I don't know. Yeah. It's interesting. I need to try that one again to get a full flavor opinion on.
And it seemed like it played pretty fast.
Yeah.
Like smooth.
Yeah, yeah. It seems like it has I don't know what it would be like with more players, but you only have to complete, like, at max, I don't know, average 16 buildings. Yeah.
Did we play a shortened version of it?
Not really.
I thought we played through the whole.
We didn't have to finish it off the way we did. We kind of decided to, but we actually did complete the game. We could have.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
If we had played it a little different.
It says 40 minutes on the box.
Oh, that's not too bad.
Yeah, pretty quick.
Well, Dan, what did you play tonight?
I got to play KeyForge.
Yes. The topic of the night.
Alan came by. He found out we were going to talk about KeyForge and play it. And so I had a great excuse to go pick up another deck.
Don't tell Amy. Yeah. Amy's not watching.
Amy, he had an excuse. It's okay.
That's right. I really like this game. If you're a fan of, if you don't know what it is, it's a unique deck building game or deck game. So you go to the store instead of buying a booster pack and spending time building your deck, you have a deck right out of the box. And it's great fun. I don't have the starter pack.
Okay.
Honestly, although it's prettier and you get, you know, better components, if you have dice, if you have different things, just go $20, pick up a couple decks, and you'll have a lot of fun with it.
Yeah.
So one of the games that Fantasy Flight sent us, I think it was like Mansions of Madness, they have like their promo, like all the advertising. Yes, and so KeyForge, of course, is their like number one. But the very beginning says, enter a world where anything is possible in KeyForge, a unique deck game by Richard Garfield. I'm like, a world where anything is possible. Is that true? Is that true? Tell us, Dan.
I think it's true. Okay. I mean, you can get any one of names on your deck. You never know what's going to be there. You get all these different combinations. We were talking about the difference between, like, you have elves and natural things in some factions, but then you have aliens from Mars in another. So you have all these different components to it, different viewpoints from it.
So tell us a little bit about, like, the gameplay and how you win.
So
Start from the beginning. Yeah. A lot of people have heard of KeyForge.
Yeah.
KeyForge, but they don't know what you're doing in the game.
Right. So the name says it all. You are forging keys.
Really?
Yeah.
Whoa.
Unlike some games where you're fighting against one another and trying to deal damage to each other, really the whole goal of the game is to forge three different keys. So your creatures allow you to do that. Your actions. You have different artifacts that you play out there, and you're trying to get Ember, it's one of those like AEM.
I saw that.
Yeah, so I don't know how you want to pronounce it.
Yeah, how do you say the AE that's like really next
to the thing? Well, A and E used to be a symbol called ash, and it's pronounced that way. Ah.
Okay, so amber.
Amber, okay.
Amber?
Amber?
We'll go with A and E together used to be one symbol, which was the ash symbol, and it's pronounced as the A and ash.
Thank you, Ryan.
Okay. Ba-ding.
So amber. yeah, so you're trying to collect this amber. If you get six of it, then you can forge a key, and you basically just go back and forth destroying each other's creatures and stealing each other's amber and gaining amber so that you can forge these three keys and hopefully be the first one to do that, and then you win the game.
So do you have to fight each other? You said this game isn't about fighting, it's about forging keys. So can you forge the keys without fighting?
Yes. Okay. I like I said, I got a second deck. The second deck I got is heavily creature laden. It's about big things and just attacking one another and kind of going overboard with that. But the other deck I have is very creature light. It's a lot more of stealing things just with actions. When I was playing Alan, most of the game, he didn't have many creatures out there at all, which kind of hurt me because I was there trying to kill his creatures and he wouldn't play them for me. But in the end, he was keeping pace with me because he kept stealing things from me. So yeah, definitely, depending on what your deck composition is, you may not really have to do a lot of combat. It's fun, but you can strategize different ways based on what you're playing to win the game without a lot of combat.
I enjoyed watching you guys play it just because, first off, the artwork for it is super fun. Yeah. Like, it's a little bit lighter, I think, than some games. Like,
for sure.
It doesn't seem as evil and dark and scary.
Maybe I would say
fun decks.
If you, no, that seems to be the case from everything I've seen. If you like something like a Magic the Gathering, but I know people get turned off sometimes by the art because it can be gruesome or whatever it may be, this kind of fills that void without getting into some of that, the you know, iffy.
Yeah, I like the coloring. I like the color scheme. I think it's a lot different. My understanding is, I guess there's how many houses? Like 7 houses or something?
Yes.
So there's 7 different types of creatures, basically, mm-hmm. that will be battling each other. And then every single deck is unique? Is that?
Every single deck is unique. They've got some crazy algorithm back there. It's really pretty cool if you like that kind of thing, if that fascinates you. And it just spits out combinations of cards so that everything is different. No matter what pack you pick up at the store, you're going to have a different deck with a different name, different creature compositions to it. Really, a lot of different choices there.
It's fascinating. I know a lot of people are like really getting on board with it. I keep hearing about it at a local game store. We actually, because, you know, we want to get on the bandwagon, we're talking about doing a Tantrum Con couple tournaments, right? What are the details on that? What are we looking at?
So we still are nailing down the details, but we will have 2 different types of tournaments at Tantrum Con for Keyforge. One will be a more casual tournament where players can either, you know, bring their own deck that they have.
No, that tournament, you show up and you're given a deck and play that deck.
Yeah.
So there's no, like, buying 20 decks and then picking the best one.
Right.
You just play with what you get.
I think you could bring your own because it's casual. So if you have your own deck, you could do that. But I think it's going to be more of like a sealed sort of, here's your deck, play with it. But it's not going to be a lot of checking. Or, you know, there's not going to be a lot of like, oh, make sure you do this or that kind of stuff. But then later, I think on Sunday, we'll have a more formal tournament where, you know, we will have to make sure everything is done properly and things like that. And we've been talking to Asmodee about making sure, you know, we are doing things properly. So we have all the process down for that. And hopefully we'll have some pretty cool prizes. One thing that we are talking about for the formal tournament is to have cash prizes.
Yeah.
So.
And I think we're talking about doing a scaling tournament, right? So the more people that enter, the bigger the prize is. And that sounds pretty cool to me because if we can get a bunch of people there pumped up and excited and ready to go, that could turn into a pretty big event.
I mean, it'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, I'm going to definitely learn this game more beyond just watching Dan play.
You'll have to get your own deck and then get in on the tournament.
Yeah.
I'm sure that's legal
10
somehow.
Bucks? Is that what it is?
Yeah, anybody in part of Tantrum House can't be a part of the.
Oh, is that a rule? Are you serious?
No.
What if I like just
you
totally.
You can do the casual one.
The casual one. All right. Well, what if I win the casual one? Is there a deal?
Yeah.
will be a small prize, but it will not be the cash prize.
Yeah, this looks interesting to me. Watching you guys played it, I was like, oh, I see what's going on here. So I'll have to get a deck. We'll have to go next week or something.
Yeah.
So if you want to be in a Keyforge tournament or even learn more about Keyforge, you can come to TantrumCon and register at TantrumCon.com. So is it time to hear what Larry has to say about
I wonder Keyforge? Which game he'll talk about in the Tantrum House timeout. Let's hear it, Larry.
The 60-second Tantrum House timeout.
Why would you even play this game?
Where we save you from playing the games that you wish you never played. Here's your host, Larry the Intern.
This week on the timeout, we're looking at the wildly popular card game Keyforge, the never-ending nerd fest. or if you prefer the accepted title, Call of the Archons by Fantasy Flight Games. Larry, how dare you accuse Keyforge of anything less than the next great game of the century? My friends, I am the warning voice of reason, keeping you, your family, and your bank account safe. Keyforge is nothing more than a flashy fad. It'll suck you in faster than you expect and take you further than you ever thought you would go. It's the Bitcoin, fidget spinner, and Hatchimals of the card game world. My friends, save yourself the pain, agony, cost, and remorse of rehab. Keyforge may look innocent, but with 104 septillion, that's 24 zeros, possible deck combinations, you'll never get enough. It will leave you empty, always searching for more, until you wake up in the corner of your local game store, wondering how you got there, where your family is, and why you ever cheated on Magic the Gathering. I give Keyforge 2 rehab visits out of 5. Hey, if you have a game you want to hear on the timeout, let us know in the comments or message us on Facebook. See ya.
Larry, Larry, I thought we were friends. This was a great game.
How the Battle of the Interns.
We need to give. I don't know about this.
We need to get you a timeout corner next week so you can, like,
that's right,
put Larry timeout.
What's your favorite game, Larry? I need to know that.
Well, Larry razzed on Patchwork, which all three of us not making any friends here. Really, really enjoyed.
Yeah, if he's razzing on Patchwork and Keyforge, I mean, maybe he likes Candyland?
There we go.
I think I could come up with a timeout for Candyland.
Pull that one off.
Oh, what you're going to do is you're gonna find out what Larry's favorite game is.
Yeah.
And then this is going to be great. Oh, man.
It'll be like Monopoly.
Okay, I do have to say, before I learned a little more about Keyforge with Dan playing tonight, I thought it was simply just a battle game, like Pokemon or some of the other ones, where you're just attacking each other the whole time, and whoever attacks the best gets the win.
Okay.
So I like that there are some options where you don't have to attack the whole time.
Are you on Team Larry? Hashtag Team Larry.
I'm in the middle. Anti-patchwork. Anti-patchwork.
So I know that Keyforge isn't for everyone. I mean,
I agree with that.
It feels like it is a different game. It does bring some unique things to the world of board gaming, like this unique deck system, which really is interesting to me.
Right.
So,
well, we all know it's all about the names.
Yes.
This is right.
So what are the names of your two decks, Dan?
Well, they're not super exciting. I have Skeptical Specs Vedette. and these names also have nothing to do with the decks you're playing. They're just fun names. The one that I actually kind of like, though, is Yongabar, the Autumnal Depths Beaker, which I hear Yongabar and it's like, oh, this sounds like a really intimidating deck. And then I think Beaker from the Muppets.
Autumnal apparel.
Yes.
So is the algorithm shooting out these names too?
Yes.
They've got like millions of words to choose from and they just create them.
We actually have a game that we want to play with Will, because Will always throws games at us unannounced. But I mean, if other people could chime in and help him out. We've compiled some of the names of Keyforge decks.
Oh, goodness.
Now, I researched these on the internet, so hopefully the websites I went to were legit.
I double-checked, so we're good.
And I think Ryan and Katie has not seen the list either.
So Ryan and Katie, you're welcome to join
them. So they can also play as well.
I have several questions, and each question I'm going to give 4 titles.
Okay.
One of the titles was something that we made up.
Okay.
But yeah, the others are actual decks.
Great.
So we need to figure out which one you think is
grief.
The fake.
You do the first. We'll go back and forth, Melissa. You do the first one.
All right.
Three
speak
truths,
into the mic.
Wait, one truth and three lies? Three truths and one lie.
Three truths, one lie. You find the lie.
All right. Question number 1. Keyforge deck names. The thing that exploits linguistics.
Nice.
Pegazon, the genius brain.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Dan's getting jealous over here.
Yeah, I know.
The butterfly that drinks lightning. Newfield, the devastatingly comfortable.
Devastatingly comfortable.
All right, well.
That's where I'd like to be.
I think it's the first one.
Okay. Ryan's going after the first one.
What do you say, Will?
The butterfly one seems a little, I don't know, are there animal names in there, Dan? Like, is it random?
I'm not giving this away.
Based on the two decks that I've seen here in front of me, I'm leaning towards the butterfly.
All right, thing. Will's doing butterfly.
I'm voting one.
One?
I'm
Ryan, one?
Ryan on one.
All right, the fake name is the butterfly.
Yes! Yes!
One point for Will. All
right.
I want that deck, the thing that explains linguistics. That's amazing.
That does sound like Ryan. Like, is Ryan's cover face on?
All right, Will, question number two. Find the lie. The villain that digs up porridge. Drishnard, the valedictorian of cheese.
Nice.
The droid that coughs on demographics. Peacock, the arrogantly outstanding.
Oh, that seems too perfect. Peacock, an arrogant peacock is perfect. I have not seen whatever list you're pulling from, but I have heard of some of these. I'm pretty sure the porridge one is correct. I believe that is a real a deck name.
Don't give it away.
Okay, I'm sorry. What are you guys leaning towards?
I think the demographics one.
All right.
Yeah?
I'm just hoping that's real, but I think it's a lie.
All right, well. Or Sarah, or Katie.
I'm going to say the last one is all right, false.
All right.
I'm going with the arrogant peacock again. All right, just seems
so
too
Katie
perfect.
And Will are doing the peacock, and you're doing the demographics. The good news is you're all wrong. Drishnar, the valedictorian of cheese, is not a real one. We made that one up. So, but
I'm impressed with the fake names you guys are coming up with. That's impressive.
You're just giving them new ideas.
So Mills and I have spent a long time working this out here.
Next year, these will be real decks.
That's right.
So here's what we need to do. How do we get in and get a promo deck? Because the Tantamount valedictorian of cheese
that'd be cool.
needs to exist.
So actually, the one that I said first, the villain that digs up porridge, is one of my favorites. Because I saw this whole Reddit forum on these different decks
that are real,
and this one was one of them. And the comments after it were amazingly funny because they started going, "The villain digs up porridge. No, I was saving that porridge for later. How did he find that porridge?" And this like whole like comment section was hilarious. The villain that we need, like. Anyway, Melissa, question number three.
All right. Vasher, the scourge of metal scarecrows.
Nice.
The pampered virtuoso baron of Kyring Hall. The thrall that forgives the little guy. True prawn, spawn of dark kidney.
Wow. Boom. Prawn.
I think the thrall that forgives the little guy makes too much sense, so I'm going to go with that one.
Okay.
I don't know. I've gone with the ones that made sense, and I've gone wrong. I'm going to go with the dark kidney.
Dark kidney? Will?
Is that the Spawn one?
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to pick the same one as Katie. What was the first one again?
Vasher, the scourge of metal scarecrows, the pampered virtuoso, the thrall that forgives little guy, and true prawn, spawn of dark kidney.
Let's go with the pampered virtuoso.
Okay. Pampered virtuoso, little guy, spawn.
Dark kidney.
You guys are all wrong again. Real ones. Once again, we have picked... You guys had like a whole...
I'm out of four chance. Yeah, that's insane.
The scourge of metal scarecrows
is not correct. All right. Question number four, Will.
It's metal scarecrows get you every time.
It that wickedly supports taxation... The beast that swiftly punches at hygiene.
That's amazing.
Red, the intermittently dastardly. Hemerara, the desperado bird keeper.
Judging by the fact that he couldn't pronounce it. Unless he's trying to throw us off.
Want me to say it one more time? It that wickedly supports taxation. The beast that swiftly punches at hygiene. Red, the intermittently dastardly, and Hammerera, the desperado bird keeper.
I think the dude that punches at hygiene, like, I want that to be real. I will pick that one just because I hope that it is real.
Yeah. I'm going to go with intermittently dastardly.
Okay.
And I'm going to do the bird one.
Bird keeper.
The bird keeper.
Guess what? We fooled you. They're all right.
Those are all real names.
The punches at hygiene. I feel like Mr. Clean is probably the cover for that one.
Yeah.
Punch you, Hygiene.
Can I throw in one of my friends has the deck Peregrine Crybaby Wacko.
Wow.
We have fun with that one, you know. If he ever starts to whine at all, it's like, oh, well, there's that deck name.
I was literally cry laughing one night just going through all these names.
He was. There were tears leaking out of his eyes.
Sarah needs to Google this because her at like 11 o'clock reading
through that. Really, these names are super funny. It is going on Reddit and people commenting on why these decks are, like, why they're named this way is just hilarious.
Yeah, and there were so many more. I had trouble choosing which ones. We have the animal that lies about squids. And
lying animals. Wait a minute.
So these are named... like people are naming these.
These are random names.
Every deck has a random name.
Fantasy Flight Games
outputs these random names for the decks
based on anything.
Based on a dictionary.
Yeah.
I mean, like, but nothing in the deck. It's not based on anything in the deck. Oh my goodness.
We have Courtier, the unnecessarily necromantic.
Unnecessarily necromantic. That's don't mess with Cthulhu, right? Like, that's unnecessarily necromantic.
There have been a few unfortunately named ones because some words made it in that probably shouldn't have.
It's like the combination of the words, right?
The
like,
combination. Yeah.
Individually, probably harmless.
Like, racism made it in there, and probably most combinations with that word aren't going to be great. Yeah. So they're actually...
pulling those decks. And actually, I think they're...
invalidating certain decks.
They're actually, I think, adjusting the code so that it takes certain words out in the future.
Probably a good idea.
Which is probably something they should have done. Although,
right.
Very smart marketing plan. Right? Someone actually thought about this.
We didn't mean for that to happen. And I've heard that they're like, they'll give you a replacement deck.
But
who's going to turn in their super limited edition?
I don't
want to
know. No, this is definitely coming back. So
that'll be on sale on YouTube or on.
So if you've heard of or seen some fun Keyforge decks, you let us know by telling us on Facebook or things like that on social media. We'd love to hear about that.
Or send us a postcard.
Yeah.
What?
Send us a postcard. Leading into Melissa and I were getting the mail one day, and this postcard shows up.
Another one!
From our favorite postcard person, Mark Spector!
What?
So Mark from Grand Gamers Guild... This is like a running gag now.
Yes.
This is awesome. Tantrum House, thank you so much for Melissa and Sarah's support at PAX Unplugged.
Oh, yeah.
We could not have done it without them, Mark. And his cool postcard is from his game Unreal Estate.
I thought I recognized that.
So, yes.
Strange Purple Castle.
Very, very cool.
Excellent. Always love getting mail. This is the season for that kind of stuff. You can send us some Christmas cards.
And then this Christmas card was not sent to us when we were at Pete Shirey's house. He gave us a Christmas card.
Ah,
so
cool.
He gave us this nice Christmas card that says, "Have a great 2019, play more games," from the Shirey's. So,
Merry Christmas, y'all.
Share that with Tantrum House.
Oh, very cool. So. Yeah, thank you guys, everybody who's listening, everybody who has sent us postcards and Christmas cards and all that fun stuff. It is Christmas Eve by the time you're listening to this.
Or could be listening to Christmas Day.
Christmas Day?
What?
Merry Christmas, y'all. Thanks so much for a fantastic year. We are looking forward to all kinds of exciting things in 2019, not the least of which is TantrumCon. But we've also got plans that we're working on right now for our next Kickstarter, where we're hoping to have some really cool backer rewards and things to give away. We're hoping to be at a bunch of conventions. It's going to be an exciting year, and we are looking forward to jumping into it. But right now, I think we're all ready to go celebrate Christmas ourselves. I know some people will be doing some traveling. You guys heading out of the town?
Heading up north.
Spend some time with family. Hope you guys have a wonderful time. Hope you guys have a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. I think that'll do it for tonight. See
Merry
you guys next
Christmas.
Time.
Merry Christmas!
Bye!
Thanks for listening to the Tantrum House Board Game Podcast. If you liked any part of this at all, find and follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and tantrumhouse.com. Like us, share us, email us, call us, or send us a postcard. Thank you!
Holmes, Holmes.
What is it, Watson?
I think we might have a new case. How can we help, Miss...
It's Mrs. Fields, and I need you to settle a dispute...
We have a small home with room for one table. My husband wants a fancy gaming table, but I believe a dining table is more important. I'm sure you agree with me, Mr. Holmes.
What if I told you I could satisfy both your wishes?
I'd say that'd be astounding, Holmes.
The answer is the Holmes, or perhaps the Watson, depending on the size of your room.
You're not making any sense, old chap.
Those are the names of an ingenious product from Game Toppers LLC. The toppers are a portable solution that turns your current table into a high-end gaming table at a fraction of the cost.
Do you mean to say that the topper can be put on and taken off the table with ease?
Absolutely.
Thank you, Mr. Holmes. You truly are as amazing as people say. I will take a look at Game Toppers LLC right away.